Good morning, and we greet you this morning in the blessed name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this first Sunday of the new year 2021. The good Lord has given us a brand new year in which to worship and serve Him. There's an old saying that says, out with the old and in with the new. Well, we can learn from the past, but yet we take that knowledge of knowing how good God was in 2020 to our personal life, and we are encouraged in knowing that He will still be with us in 2021. We all know that 2020 was an unusually challenging year with the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic, and it's still ongoing, and many have died, and many are still sick, and many are recovering, and we praise God for that. But we know that God's still on His throne, and that He will see us through every challenge that we will face in 2021. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. And I would like to begin by singing a special message and song entitled, I Want to Be Like Jesus. It's a hymn of commitment and aspiration. That should be our highest goal, to be like Jesus. The word goal goes right into the message the Lord has laid upon our hearts today from the book of Philippians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, Philippians chapter 3. Paul wrote several letters of the New Testament from a Roman prison. And he would often refer to himself as the prisoner of the Lord. Although he was imprisoned in Rome by the Roman government, yet he was the most free man in Rome because he was free in Christ. And Jesus taught us that if you be free in me, you are free indeed. As we come to this new year, our subject will be losing all things that we may gain or win Christ. Losing all things to win Christ. Philippians 3 will begin by reading verses 7 through 9. 7 through 9. Paul said, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for blessing us to be in the house of God on the Lord's Day and blessing us to see the light, not just of a new Lord's Day, but of a brand new year, 2021. And we pray, Lord, now, we don't know what the year holds, but we know you hold every day. And we trust that you will help us to trust you more every day in the new year. Be with all of our members and friends, those that are absent, those grieving losses of loved ones this day. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul writing the letter to the church in Philippi. You do remember in Acts chapter 16 that Paul and Silas, they were in a Philippian jail. And at midnight they prayed and a miracle happened. The prison doors were open, their stocks and chains were broken, and they could have ran away, and all the prisoners could have as well, but they didn't. They stayed because the Lord had changed hearts in Philippi. Several Sundays ago in 2020, I preached a message on the Lord changes hearts in Philippi. He changed the heart of Lydia, the seller of purple. He changed the heart of the Philippian jailer. And they each rejoiced in the Lord. In Philippians chapter 3, he begins in verse 1 by saying, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." Joy is a major theme in the epistle to the Philippians. It's mentioned some 16 or 17 times. And our joy in the Lord is independent of our outward circumstances. Our outward circumstances may be bleak and grim, but yet, even if you're in a prison made by man for preaching the Word of God as Paul was, yet he could rejoice in the Lord. And he says, "To write the same things to you, to me, indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." Paul would often say, "I am writing unto you the very same thing that I preached to you when I was among you." But he would often say that repetition of what he had already told them was necessary because he is a great teacher. Repetition. Being a math professor, I know that's true. And learning things like multiplication tables, you have to repeat them over and over again. Repetition. So he was not concerned with writing to them again the same things that he had told them in person. Because he teaches them that they need to be on guard. They need to beware of the dogs, You know, sometimes when you go to somebody's house, you might see a sign in the yard that says, "Beware of the dogs," or "Beware of the dog." They may have a pit bull or some ferocious dog that is known to bite and attack. But we see here, he is not referring to the four-footed animals, the four-legged animal. He is actually referring to the legalizing Jews who would teach them that they needed to go back under the law of Moses to worship Christ. He says, "Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, and beware of the concision." All three of those warnings, I believe, are referring to the same people. I believe the Pharisees, those that were legal scholars in the law of Moses, those who in Jesus' day were teaching that it was necessary to keep the law in order to be saved. And in the book of Acts, chapter 15, they came to the church in Jerusalem and also the church in Antioch. And they taught the brethren that except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. They went through outward rituals and they took great pride in the flesh and what they thought they accomplished in the flesh. But Paul would say, in contrast to them, "But we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit of God. And we rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh." Circumcision that was commanded by God in the Old Testament to Abraham was only an outward symbol of an inward covenant God made with Himself, actually. And Abraham was the beneficiary of that covenant. It was an outward symbol that coming one day would be our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who would circumcise our hearts. Paul would say it in Romans chapter 2. And verse 29. Romans 2:29, Paul said, "But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the Spirit," that is the Spirit of God, "and not in the letter of the law, whose praise is not of men, but of God." And there again, I believe he's referring to the Pharisees who sought the praise of men. And so Paul goes on in verses 4, 5, and 6, and he says that in his former life, before his conversion, he had more than any other man in which he could take confidence in his own flesh. He says, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more." And then he gives us his pedigree. He was circumcised on the eighth day. He was of the stock of Israel. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And as touching the law, he was a Pharisee. He was educated at the feet of Gamaliel. Concerning zeal, what did he do before his conversion? He persecuted the church. Remember, in the book of Acts, chapter 9, Saul of Tarsus received letters of authority from the Jewish leaders of Jerusalem to go into Damascus to bind any that he would find in the way of Christ and bring them bound back to Jerusalem, just as he had done in Jerusalem itself. But he says, concerning zeal, he persecuted the church, and as touching the righteousness which was in the law, he was blameless. He believed that he had crossed every T and dotted every I, that he had kept every part of the law to every jot and every tittle. But yet all of those things, Paul says, once he was converted, once he had a miraculous divine encounter with Jesus Christ on that road to Damascus, his life was changed. And it was in that experience that he would then count everything prior to that in his life loss, that he might gain or win Christ. Turn back in Acts chapter 9 for a moment. When Paul encountered Christ on that Damascus road, it says in Acts chapter 9, in verse 4, "And he fell on the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" How could Jesus say that he was persecuting him? Jesus said, "If you do these things to my children, then you're doing them to me." And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." He was now being pricked in the heart by the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" He's being changed. He's being converted. And the Lord said to him, "Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." And then in verse 15, he says to Ananias, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel to me, that he might bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must now suffer for my name's sake." The one who persecuted the church with suffering would now be persecuted and suffer for the cause of Christ. So he says, "But what things were gained to me in the Jews' religion, those things I now count loss for Christ. I count them as a loss. Yea, without a doubt, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." We're going to see that in just a moment in verse 10. His desire was that he might know him more and know him better. He says, For Christ's sake, he says, "I now have suffered the loss of all things, do count all these things as dung or as waste, as nothing, that I may win or gain Christ." Not that he would win Christ in and of himself to earn a home in heaven, but that he might have a fellowship with Christ and be found in him. He says in verse 9, "Not having my own righteousness that comes after the law, but rather that which is through the faith of Christ." That is, the way of faith, that through Christ we have been made righteous. Christ has imputed his righteousness to us. When he took our sins on himself on the cross of Calvary, our sin was imputed to him so that his righteousness might be imputed to you and me. So that's the righteousness that we stand in now, that is of God by faith. Of God by faith. Now, let's look in verses 10 through 14, Philippians chapter 3. Paul's desire was that he might know Christ. Look in verse 10. That I may know Him, know Christ, have an intimate relationship with Him, that he also might know the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Paul was already experiencing a great degree of this, but he wanted to experience it even more. He was experiencing some degree of the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. He was imprisoned, and he had been beaten on several occasions. But he wanted to know Him in that intimate relationship. You remember back in Ephesians chapters 1 and 3, Paul prayed that we might know Him better. For instance, in Ephesians chapter 1, he prays in verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ, of Him, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, that we might know the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power that He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, that we also might experience the power of His resurrection. And then Ephesians chapter 3, he says in verse 18, 3 and 18, that we might be able to comprehend or to understand with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, to know His love that passeth knowledge, that goes beyond understanding, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. We want to know Him more, not just a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge in the coming new year. Because we want to be made conformable to His death. Paul says in other places that he dies daily. And that's what he means there. Being made conformable to the death of Christ, that we might die to ourselves and live unto Him. And he has an aspiration. He says in verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection from among the dead. His desire was that he might attain, not just being raised from the dead when Christ returns, but that he might awake out of sleep. Paul enjoined all of us, again in Ephesians 5 and 14, when he says, wherefore it is said, awake thou who sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. So we want to not be asleep in our service to Him. We want to be empowered by the power of His resurrection. Now, Paul admitted, and we all do as well, that we will never attain to perfection in this life. He says in verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfected, but I follow after. I follow after Christ. And that's what we need to do in the new year. Follow after Him, that if we might apprehend, that we might lay hold on that which we have also been laid hold of or apprehended of Christ. Jesus arrested Paul on the Damascus Road, and Paul says, I want to lay hold upon him. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, 1 Timothy 6 and 12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto we're called, and has professed a good profession. Lay hold on the eternal life that we have. He says in another scripture that we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling in Philippians 2:12. For it's God that works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And then I want to close by looking at verses 13 and 14. We need to forget the failures of our past. Now, let me qualify that by saying we need to learn from our past mistakes, but we don't need to live in those past mistakes. We need to lay those things aside. Paul remembered a time when he consented unto the death of Stephen, when he held the coat of Stephen, consenting to his death. Those things in Paul's past, he wanted to lay those things aside. He didn't want the weight of his old life to weigh him down in his new life in Christ. So he said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. He had one focus and one goal. Forgetting those things which are behind, forgetting past failures, and reaching forth to those things that are before me. So that's what we should do as we look back at 2020 and look forward to 2021. Forgetting those things that are behind. Yes, learn from past failures, but don't live in the past. Reaching forth to those things that are before us. And press toward the mark. He's using the analogy of the athletic games there, of running in an athletic race. Pressing toward the mark or for the goal of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, those that run in a race all run, but only one would receive the earthly prize. But when we run the Christian race, we all receive the prize. And it is Christ Himself saying to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Paul would say this in Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 1 and 2, laying aside those things in our past. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also now are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses in our own time, let us lay aside every weight, things that weighed us down, and let us lay aside the sin that does so easily beset us. That's called a besetting sin. A sin that we fall prey to over and over again. Lay aside those besetting sins in the new year, and let us run with patience the race set before us, looking to Jesus. Keep your eyes on the prize, looking unto Jesus, who is the author of our faith and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. He despised the shame of that cross and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus himself taught in Matthew 16 that we must lay these things aside and follow him. Take up our cross and follow him. He is our prize. We want to learn more of him, to know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings. God help us do that very thing, is my prayer for Christ's sake.